Book of Luke, chapter 4, and our text is verses 18 through 21. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I want to preach on the theme, when Jesus met Isaiah in the synagogue of Nazareth. The scripture that Jesus read upon this occasion was from Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. He doesn't quote the whole thing there. There's a good reason for that. We won't go into that this morning. That's another message. But here, I want you to understand that Christ validated the scripture of the Old Testament. He said here that this has been fulfilled in your hearing. And that's what Isaiah had said. And it was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. So Isaiah actually introduces Jesus Christ. There's no time element given in Isaiah 61. You can read that, but you won't know when it's to be fulfilled because the time element wasn't given. But Christ fulfilled it. He was the one that said, I'm going to, as it were, close the book on this subject that was given in Isaiah 61. He had his eye upon the scripture. And as we learned in John 10 and 35, the scripture cannot be broken. Most people believe it can. But listen, what God has written, it's true. It will come to pass. And it's exactly like he said it was going to be. Isaiah 61 and every other prophecy in Isaiah and all the other books will be fulfilled. Scripture has no fear of failure because it is God-given. Scripture has no fear of time, of centuries, millenniums, ages. In 2 Peter 3:8, Peter said that with the Lord, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. What's he saying here? Time doesn't bother him the least bit. He's not worried about any of his promises failing or any of his scripture being fulfilled. It will all be fulfilled exactly as he's given it. Scripture has no fear of military powers. If you've ever seen the pictures of World War II in Germany and Japan and all of those, the horrors of war, indescribable. But Scripture has no fear of war. It doesn't affect what God is doing, what he's promised to do. Scripture has no fear of exile. I want you to think now that when Isaiah wrote, there were a lot of countries in existence, and many of those countries went out of existence. Some of them came into existence even after Isaiah wrote. But the Babylonians went into exile. The Persians exiled. The Greeks exiled. And Israel went into exile through the Romans and remained that way for almost 2,000 years before Israel was again a nation. Do you realize that all the promises that God made to Israel didn't make a bit of difference? That Israel went out of existence. He was going to bring it back because his word is true and he will fulfill it. Scripture also has no fear of kingdoms. Look at the kingdoms that existed: Babylon, Assyria, Philistia, Moab, Damascus, Syria, Egypt, all passed away. Go try to find a Moabite today. Go try to find a Philistine today. You can't do it. They don't exist anymore. Went out of existence. Did that bother God? No. The scripture was right on line. Everything he said is going to come to pass exactly as he said it would. Scripture has no fear of the devil either. You see, we read about the devil tempting the Lord, but you notice that the Lord overcome him. And the scripture will be fulfilled, even though the devil is opposing it every moment of his existence, and he has perhaps millions and billions of demons helping him. Doesn't make a bit of difference. The scripture is true. It will be fulfilled because it is the predestinated will of God. Turn with me to Isaiah. Another passage in Isaiah 46. And listen to what the Lord says. Isaiah 46, 8. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O you transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. There are no contenders. There are none that are even in the picture with God. I am God, and there is none like me. And then he tells us what he does, declaring the end from the beginning. Now this is God, and he does this in the scripture, and he's published it so that we can read it and see how factual the scriptures are. From the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executes my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I will also do it. And he goes on to say that I'm doing this for Israel, my glory. And don't you ever forget it. When God says something, you can take it to the bank. It's true. It's going to happen. Now that's the introduction. First of all, let us note that Jesus goes home to Nazareth. You see, the scripture says here, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. So this was his hometown. This was where he lived from the time that Joseph and his mother brought him from Egypt. You remember the angel said, you go down to Egypt until Herod dies and then you come back. About 2 years perhaps elapsed. Don't know exactly. The Bible does not keep a close chronology like we do in modern times. We don't even know for sure when Jesus was born. We think it was B.C. 4, but we don't know that for sure. And the scholars disagree about it. And we don't know exactly how long he was in Egypt. And these other dates are not recorded like we do things today. So you don't need to worry about that. The Lord is taking care of it. But Jesus is called in Scripture. The Scripture records that Christ was known as Jesus of Nazareth 21 times. That's a significant thing. And you remember that when Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, do you remember what he said? I am Jesus of Nazareth. He was going right back to his home. That's where he grew up. Therefore, this is rather significant. The demons even mentioned Jesus of Nazareth when they'd speak to him. The angels at the resurrection said, Jesus of Nazareth. So that was an important aspect of his life. And Jesus identified himself as Jesus of Nazareth. Now remember, he was not born there. He was born in Bethlehem. There was no prestige in the town of Nazareth. In fact, in John 1:46, Nathanael says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It was just a scraggly little town that didn't amount to anything, and there wasn't anything, any notoriety about it. The only thing that's significant about Nazareth is that's where Jesus Christ lived, and that was his town. Probably in Isaiah's day, this town didn't even exist. And no previous prophet ever lived in Nazareth, far as we know. So it was still the boyhood home of Jesus. That's where he played as a child. Now you got to remember that Jesus Christ grew up just like other children do. He played with sticks and rocks and bows and arrows like other little boys do. You know, these psychologists say, oh, don't let your children play with guns. That'll teach them something. That's absolutely foolishness. So much of what people are being taught now is undermining our country. And so Jesus, when he was a little boy, done just what other little boys did. And he even went to school. The Jews required their children to go to school. And you know what he had to do? He had to learn the letters of the alphabet. I'm thinking the Son of God, who created the universe, created the stars, had to sit down with the other students and learn alpha, beta, gamma, delta, like the other children did. You talk about being related to us. He certainly was. And then he learned to read there. And this was where he grew up. And eventually, he worked as a carpenter in Joseph's shop. The one who created the universe had to learn how to divide a circle and how to make the things that were required for the homes of the people of that time. They made locks for their doors. They made keys for their doors, and the carpenters did that. And they made yokes for oxen, and they made rakes and other things like that that the people had to use. Jesus had to learn how to do those things. And he lived here until he was about 30 years. He began to preach. But he lived 28 years in Nazareth. Secondly, Jesus verified on this occasion in the synagogue that he was the one that Isaiah wrote about in Isaiah 61. He said, I am the fulfillment of Isaiah 61. The ruler of the synagogue apparently knew Jesus, knew of his skill with the scriptures, and so he gave him the scroll of Isaiah to read. And he selected this passage because it was to be fulfilled right there. And he was fulfilling it. And so Jesus read that passage in Isaiah 61. Isaiah introduced Jesus Christ to the Jews of Nazareth. This synagogue heard this message for the first time. This day, is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing? Think of that. Do you know that it had been 700 years since Isaiah had laid down his pen? Year after year, decade after decade, generation after generation, century after century, for 700 years, no one ever said anything like this. But here's Jesus of Nazareth in the synagogue of Nazareth saying, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What a marvelous revelation. Thirdly, Jesus was rejected by the people of Nazareth. They knew him. They knew that he grew up there. They had seen him all their lives, and they couldn't think that he was anything different than they were. So they are amazed and they question. Notice in verse 22, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? They were on the wrong track already. And he said unto them, and he goes on to tell them, you're going to say these things to me. Physician, heal yourself. They knew, the people of this synagogue in Nazareth knew this Old Testament passage. It wasn't new to them. They knew about it. They had heard it frequently read. And it was always interpreted of the Messiah. Now the Jews believed that the Messiah, the Christ, was going to come to their nation. And they had the Old Testament scriptures to prove it. And they read them and they learned from them throughout the years. And they should have been on their toes, so to speak. But when they heard his claim that he was the Messiah, because that's exactly what he was saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. All of that was messianic, and they knew it. And he said, this day it's fulfilled in your ears. They knew of the mighty works that he had done in Capernaum. We know of 6 miracles that Jesus did in Capernaum. The centurion servant was healed of palsy, Mark 8:13. Peter's wife's mother was healed of a fever. Another man was healed of the palsy, Mark 2:11. A woman was healed of the bloody issue, Mark 5:34. The man healed who had the withered hand, that was in Capernaum. And he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead, Mark 5:41. They knew about those things. They'd heard them. But what was their response? They did not believe Isaiah. When Isaiah is saying to them, here is the Christ. And they said, we don't believe it. We're not going to have it. We're not going to recognize it. Did that change the scripture? never made a bit of difference. The scripture was just as true as if every one of them had said, "This is the Christ," which they should have done. Look with me in John 1 and verse 11. John 1, 11. He came, that is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, unto his own. And his own, what did they do? They received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe upon his name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of man, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Instead of believing on him, they rather determined to kill him. And they grabbed a hold of him and they took him out of the building, and they were going to the place where there was a cliff and they were going to throw him off. But he escaped out of their hands. Now the conclusion. Isaiah's message is sent not only to the synagogue of Nazareth, it's sent to you and me. This is the Christ. This is the Son of God. This is the fulfillment of the Scripture. You know the Scripture. You know God's Word is true. You know Christ went to Nazareth and they rejected him. They did not believe Isaiah. And even though it had been read and taught for 700 years, when it came to them, instead of embracing the message and believing it, they rejected it. You know about his miracles. There's many others that you know of than those that were done at Capernaum. You know he did those miracles. You've got the record of it in the scriptures. John said many other miracles that he did that are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, that you might believe what Isaiah said. You know he is God's Son. You know that he calls sinners, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." You notice what he said. He was to anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's what Jesus Christ did. There's never been anything else like it in the world. And he calls on sinners to repent. God commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the secrets of men according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know you are a sinner. Nobody has to tell you that you're a sinner. Every one of us knows that. We've got our history that follows us like a dinosaur's tail. But how many have ever looked to Jesus Christ? Nazareth rejected the prophecy of Isaiah. They said, "We're not going to believe it. We don't believe it. We're not going to have it." They rejected Jesus Christ, even though he was the Son of God. Even though Isaiah had prophesied that he was going to come 700 years before and gave the details, which you can read at your discretion. The question is not what Nazareth did. We know what they did. They rejected the truth of God. They rejected Jesus Christ. They denied the Son of God. And they eventually helped to crucify him. What will you do with Jesus of Nazareth? Isaiah has introduced him to you and to me. And you must do something. What will you do with Jesus? That's the question. May the Lord bless you.